Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Talk Talk Nation. I'm your host, Joe Weber, and this week I got to sit down with Abbas Wahab. He's a stand-up comedian originally from Sudan. He moved to Ontario, Canada when he was a young kid, and now he lives in New York. He's doing car content now. He actually was like a guide at the New York Auto Show. He's doing a lot of really interesting stuff. He's got a unique perspective, and I really enjoyed our chat, and I hope you guys do too. So without further ado, here's my chat with Abbas. Welcome back to Talk Talk Nation. I'm your host, Joe Weber, and sitting with me is a very special guest this week, comic and all-around car guy, Abbas Wahab. Abbas.
Hello. Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate you.
It's always an awkward handshake.
Over the mics?
Yeah, over the mics. And
do not block your camera. You guys were very militant before.
Abbas, thank you so much for coming to the Donut HQ. You are on a mini tour right now, right?
Yes. I'm out here in SoCal and going up to San Francisco. Amazing to be here, man. I love this space. You guys got startup energy. This is like a toy shop in here, like a weird Bart Simpson get the key to the city at night
type. Yeah. What gives it that energy? Because I've been, this is my office for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
So I'm like immune to it. But What gives off the energy like that?
It's loft styling. Stuff is all over the place. It's very colorful. Y'all got like boards on wheels that are writing things, yeah, random things, stacks of tires, slicks, rims, a pile of bikes. And then your kitchen is pure startup energy, which is like snacks, fridge full.
Toddler snacks.
Yeah, it's that vibe of like, why would you leave here? We're a startup, you know? This is the working culture. Yeah. Why are you leaving? We got Modelo in the fridge. Where are you going? You know,
you were telling me that you worked at a startup before this, right?
I did, yeah, in San Francisco, like almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. Did it have a slide?
No slide. Okay. This was the pre-slide days. I don't know. Is that what they're doing now? Full on slides over there?
I worked at Funny or Die for just a little bit when a startup. I directed a few videos there back in the day.
Yeah.
And they had a slide that went from, I think, the cafeteria down to the parking garage.
Yeah, no, I worked in a hardware startup. So it was like more like open seat concept with couches. And, you know, there's no cubicles and you could see everyone. And they had chocolate covered almonds. Why are you leaving before 9 p.m.? We have chocolate covered almonds.
Yeah, we're a family here. Yeah. Let's hang out.
Are the almonds not to your liking? Like, oh my God, let me go home.
Yeah.
That Bay Area startup culture is freaking, it can be toxic.
Yeah.
It could be toxic.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you're not originally from the Bay Area. You're Sudan originally.
Born in Sudan, yes.
And then you moved to Canada. What part of Canada?
London, Ontario. That's my hometown. That's where
I grew up outside of Toronto, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. How are you familiar with that?
Well, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
But my best friend went to pharmacology college.
Western?
Yeah. In Ontario.
In London, Ontario.
And then one of my other good friends, Tommy, who is a
Tommy, shout out.
Tommy Omelets is from Ontario.
That's his actual last name?
Wellette, which is a very French Canadian name.
Yes, Wellette.
Yeah. He had his wedding in Ontario a couple years ago.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, that's where I grew up. I grew up in London, Ontario. So I moved out there when I was 6. I did first to 12th grade, like all my school in there. Then I went to engineering school at some school nearby in a city called Waterloo.
Oh, cool.
Then I worked in the automotive industry in Detroit, with a supplier.
I was going to say, did you make that leap over eventually? But
Right after college, you jumped over
to Detroit.
One of my good friend's brother-in-law was a was a program manager at this company. We made fuel tanks as a tier one supplier. Tier one supplier being like, we ship directly to assembly plants.
Okay, so these were not like aftermarket race tanks.
No, these are tier one suppliers making the OEM fuel tanks in Wranglers, VW Atlas.
Oh, so you had Chrysler.
We had a lot of OEM customers.
Cool.
My specific projects were with Chrysler and Volvo big truck. I handled urea tanks, so I was new. So AdBlue. So when you come into this fuel systems game, the baby projects are the urea tanks, AdBlue, for diesel applications.
Oh, okay.
So if you have like, if you get a big, like a Ram 1500 Eco Diesel, they, to meet EPA regulations, they got to spray this ammonia fluid called AdBlue. When you buy it, it's called AdBlue. It's really urea. Yeah. And it pretty much does a something called catalytic reduction. And it makes the fumes that come out cleaner for the air so it could pass EPA.
Oh, so, I've never heard any of those words that you just said.
Yeah, by the so way. If you ever see a Ram like 3500,
yeah,
F-350 turbo diesel, and you look at the fuel tank, there's another tank, there's another nozzle in there. You'd be like, well, why is there two?
Yeah.
There's a small one for that urea AdBlue, and that one's for your diesel fuel.
Whoa.
When you see a big 18-wheel truck, there's a big tank, like look at the passenger side door, right to the left of it, there's a big tank about this big. Probably, what was that, bad boy? Probably 6 to 8 gallons or something like that. But that is the same thing because they're all diesel engines.
So that's like an ammonia-based additive? It's an ammonia,
yes. And it sprays into the exhaust stream.
Oh.
And it does, the nitrates become less aggressive, like it goes to NO2 versus like all these aggressive and you can't, don't quote me on the exact NO, I don't even remember this stuff, but yeah. It pretty much takes very harmful fumes and sprays into it and makes them a lot more benign for the atmosphere.
Wow.
So it can pass EPA.
That's something I've never even thought about.
So they're little tanks.
Yeah,
the little tanks are a lot less complicated because they're not flammable. It's not fuel.
Oh.
So when you go as a 22, 23-year-old engineer, they put you on those.
Yeah.
So they put me, I was like a project manager for the existing Ram 1500 Eco. It was already an existing program because there's already been in production for years. And I would just, you just need a guy to oversee it. So if there's a problem at the plant, you're the liaison for the company. So that's pretty much, that was my foray into actually working in like a engineering capacity. In the
so you got your foot
world.
In the door.
Yes.
At this, at like, diesel tank division.
Yeah.
How did you make the leap? Did you stay in the automotive industry or did you, happened after that?
I was at the company for like 2.5 years. Then I moved to San Francisco and joined that other startup that is no longer here, which is, you know, like I said, very, the same vibes as this place right
Mind
here.
Tribe.
Yeah. No, not Mind Tribe. Mind Tribe was some of the other guys.
Okay.
My thing was called freaking Riverwood Solutions.
Oh, okay.
Which sounds like a freaking mental asylum, right? He was admitted to Riverwood Solutions.
Yeah, we got a solution.
We haven't
for
heard
him.
Of him. Yeah, exactly, right? Prozac. I went out there and I was already doing comedy at night at this point. And I just wanted to switch jobs. I wasn't really feeling what I was doing. And I liked the automotive stuff. I just didn't like what I was doing as a job.
Yeah.
So I was convinced in my mind that it was like Michigan was the problem. So I was like, California will be great, you know? Then I went to the startup space, which is way worse than Michigan classic corporate America of like cubicles, 5-6 weeks a wrap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it goes to this like, we are a family and like everyone in this room will be laid off in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
But we are a family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That weird energy of all these people that are like transplants. A lot of people in the Bay Area, they're not from the Bay Area.
Oh, for sure.
They're just there just to like freaking dry, suck some startup dry until it pivots and then they jump ship to the next one, right?
Yeah.
So that, I got exposed to that energy while doing comedy at night. And that company was a hardware company. So they made like a fancy locks for doors and stuff like that. Like a door, you'd go up to your doorknob and your Bluetooth on your phone would unlock it. Or like, or let's say your Comcast guy was coming and he needed 30 minutes of access for some routers.
You give him
you
a
send
code.
Him a link or a QR code. So he just had, you don't need, there's no keys. No one has to be.
That's an interesting jump from, you know, diesel tanks to a kind of a startup lock company.
Dude, you know LinkedIn? You know, LinkedIn has a button that says like apply in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's very easy to apply to jobs. I only apply to jobs with that button. I searched jobs that only had that button and applied to 200. Just clicked that button 200 times and got that interview and nailed it, I guess. And literally, I was just looking to go to California. I didn't care what the company was. That's when I really got into stand-up, though. So thank God I went out to the Bay Area.
What was the moment you realized you wanted to start doing stand-up? Do you remember it?
I was always obsessed with stand-up my whole life. But, you know, when you're like a immigrant kid, you think you have to become an engineer or doctor.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You think you have to. Like, it's like fully, you know, you just, they sell you on the dream. And I was like, since I was like a kid, if an adult was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? My mom would be behind me like, engineer. so you know what I mean? Answer for me.
Yeah.
So eventually I was like, yeah, engineer, right? But like, I just always loved comedy. So I learned like English from Simpsons. I was just obsessed. Everything comedy, stand up. I grew up very religious. So my mom would always like be over my back watching like what I'm watching. Like even like I was watching an Arthur episode one time and like Arthur's parents like were leaving the house and Arthur's mom kissed his dad on the cheek. My mom's like, what the hell are you watching? You know? So like that is a little idea of how it was.
But how I could she watch, let you watch The Simpsons.
But though? I could watch, she hated me watching The Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
She's like, you better not be watching The Simpsons. I'm like, no, I'm coming upstairs. And I watched like twice a day, every day, 5 and 10. But every day in Canada, shout out CBC and Omni too, which I don't know if exists anymore. But stand-up I could watch unlimited because my mom's English wasn't that good. So it's just someone with a microphone, right? So I could watch nonstop stand-up.
So who inspired you early on?
Chappelle was the guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely Chappelle. A lot of people, but that's the go-to. Like I would just memorize all Chappelle show skits and redo them at like recess at school and shit.
That's so fun.
I love that shit. But pretty much, you know, love stand-up, watching, going to see it live, then I became an engineer and then I just started getting real depressed in these jobs. Man. It was like a year and a half of like, first of all, I become an engineer. Immediately, I go to the BMW dealership. I'm like, okay, I just did 5 years of school I don't care about at all. Yeah. This is what we train for, right? So I go with my 2001 Nissan Sentra. I park around the corner because I'm like, they're going to screw me on the deal if they know I'm in a shit car. They're going to know I'm like broke, right?
Yeah.
And I went and I ordered a BMW 435 X-Drive 6-speed manual. And the guy was like trying to get me to buy a lease. And he was trying to get me to lease a 435 from the lot. But they're all automatics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I really want a manual. He's like, but you know, you're gonna have to wait 3 months for this. I'm like, I'm not getting it otherwise.
Yeah.
He's like, but that was an amazing, I still remember that, man. Just calling the BMW, they have an automated 1-800 number where you call and you type in the last 7 digits of your VIN and it'll just give you like the status update in manufacturing of your car.
Oh, so it'll be like in progress or in shipment or something.
In progress, your vehicle is being painted.
Yeah, like they'll tell you actually Domino's pizza tracker.
Exactly. But just all audio. But it'll be like your vehicle is queued for shipment. Your vehicle is undergoing shipment, and like it just
damn. So you're just like counting down the minutes.
Oh, the minutes, dude. And I still remember it was an amazing feeling. And it was the first year the 4 Series came out. So it was supposed to take 3 months. They had it from the day I ordered it to the day I received it.
Is this like late 2010s?
This is 2014. Because they were trying to get as many 4 Series on the road as possible.
Yeah.
They expedited the whole thing.
Oh.
So I had the car in like 45 days, maybe from the day I ordered it to it built, shipped across the ocean into me in like 45 days or something like that.
What color was it?
A Storl blue.
Oh, I love that.
That's a color. That made me learn though that like, just because a color is sick doesn't mean you want the car in that color. That's I learned that shit.
Does it not look good in that
color? It looks incredible, but the problem is it's too much of a, it magnetizes attention to the car.
Okay.
People park near the car. People are looking at the car. You're at the light. You're like, you get pulled over easier. It's like, I'm like, oh, I never thought about any of these things. Man. And now I realize a Ferrari in red is probably the biggest headache possible.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, not only is the maintenance cost for Ferraris insane, but you're also just like under the spotlight all
constantly,
the time.
Constantly. Yeah.
That's why
blacked out Ferrari Testarossa. That's the next move.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I'm just into like sleepers. Cause I don't want to attract attention. And then a cop pulls me over and sees that I have like 2 baby seats in the back.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good look though.
It is a good excuse too. I've gotten out of tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I went in like a turn lane, two early. And I guess there's a rule that you can't get in the turn lane before 200 feet. You can't drive more than 200 feet in like the third lane in the middle. So I pulled over in a very inconvenient spot for the cop to park behind me too, where he was like kind of hanging out into
traffic a little bit. Yeah.
And then I rolled all the windows down so he could see my kid in the back. And I was like, I'm sorry. He's just like, he's freaking out. And meanwhile, he's just like,
he's
quiet.
Fine.
He's super quiet. And they were like, okay, like, I'll let you go with a warning this time, but just to let you know, you can't drive, you know, more than 200 feet. And I was like, yeah, that's like, was putting on this like exasperation. And he let me go like right away.
Dude, I never got a warning in my life when I got pulled over. Then I had a freaking family.
Yeah.
Bro, I need a hologram of my family in my car at all times. Someone needs to invent that. A hologram projecting a dog like,
like a kid you can rent.
Yeah, yeah. And like a wife being like, you know what I mean? Like, when they're not with me, I feel a lot more exposed.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
bro, if I see cop lights and the family's in the car, I'm like, we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
It's so photogenic right now. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be fine.
They always do that. Like, I don't know how many times you've been pulled over with your family, but they're like, you shouldn't be driving like this with kids in the back.
Yeah, I don't get pulled over that much.
Yeah.
I love how many times you've been pulled over.
Only this one time since I've had kids.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Rula for sponsoring this episode of Talk Talk Nation. Finding the right therapist is super hard. You want someone that you can trust, that's going to listen to you, that fits within your budget. There's a lot of different factors to take in. That's why Rula is so great. It's not just affordable. The experience is tailored around you. There's no wait lists. There's no frustrating back and forth. Rula makes it easy to find a mental health provider who is accepting new patients, and appointments are available as soon as tomorrow. Plus, Rula sticks with you throughout your journey, checking in to make sure your care is helping you move forward. Go to Rula.com/TTN to get started today. That's RULA.com/TTN for quality therapy that's covered by insurance. All right, let's talk about what makes Rula so great. The average copay for Rula patients is $15, but depending on your benefits, your copay could be as little as $0 per session. Rula partners with a network of over 15,000 therapists and psychiatrists nationwide. From therapy to medication management, Rula supports every aspect of your mental health journey. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/TTN to get started. That's RULA.com/TTN. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget.
Do you daily?
My daily is my Audi A3 hatchback.
Nice. Love the hatchback.
But
life,
our family car is a RAV4, which is the NPC car, is what people say. Yeah. It is NPC color too. It's just gray.
Perfect. That's what you want.
Yeah.
No, I have a black CRV.
Yeah,
one
perfect.
10,000 that are immediately around me. I'll just be like, it's like you could go park somewhere and literally be four black CRVs, identical.
You just have to like beep it.
Yeah, you're like, which one's mine? And I love that. Not like I'm saying, now that I've had these experiences in the past, I love a car that's like hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
You know?
And we got like whatever the higher trim, it's not the highest trim level.
Yeah.
But it's got 300 horsepower.
On the RAV? No, on the RAV. On the A3.
On the RAV.
Really?
Yeah. It's got 300 horsepower.
Damn.
All-wheel drive.
Who hurt?
And then
the
hybrid,
RAV?
So you like get a good jump.
Yeah.
And it can overtake people on the highway super easily. There's a lot of people that kind of underestimate you and they're like, oh, this is a fucking RAV. This is an NPC car. I'm going to, you know, be a dick to it. And then I'll just like pass them and go 90.
They don't know about the spoon engine and Motec exhaust that you put in.
Hector put a spoon engine in. So, okay. Are you a Beamer guy then?
BMW.
All the way?
Love BMWs. Yeah. Love the car I want the most, E39 M5. That's like the car that when I look at it, I just kind of like, ooh, that 6-speed dark blue.
Yeah. That is the one
like peak right there.
I don't know what your age is, but
34.
Oh, okay. So we're similar. I'm 39. Yeah. But in the early 2000s, BMW got away with advertising. There was some weird like law in Germany where you couldn't show cars kind of like breaking the law in car ads.
Mm.
What BMW did was they hired Guy Ritchie to direct this short with, I want to say Clive Owen.
Is that the one with the the jet? The jet car?
No, that's different. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
This was like a short film that Guy Ritchie directed with Clive Owen where he's like a getaway driver.
Yeah.
And through this loophole, they were able to show pretty wild illegal driving through, you know, cities.
They pretty much drifting. Redid The Transporter, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it was all along, it was this ad for the BMW E39 M5, which is like such a fun kind of way to bypass these restrictions.
Till this day, something, I don't know what it is about the BMW M5.
Yeah.
Just saying that still, it kind of just gives me a shiver down my spine. And it sounds like a jet. That was the BMW M5. It's like, just like, whoa, what is that? And I love an M3.
Yeah.
But just something about, when I was younger, I was like, coupe all day. But now it's like, you know, for the practicality.
Yeah.
It's like, I need four doors.
And like, you find a clapped out, I don't know what the market is in New York, but like, you can find a clapped out M3 of that era for maybe $22,000. And the M5s you can find for like 10 grand all day.
Yes, correct. I mean, I wouldn't want to buy the 10 grand no. M5. I'd probably want a cleaner one with like, you know, 50K miles. That was like driven. That's not just been sitting somewhere. Yeah. But that's the car that like, that's the next, that's what I'm looking at right now.
I think you could, that's very reasonable.
I know, I can make it work. I just, you know, had a new, I have like a 20-month-old kid.
Yeah.
And it's like not in a position right now because we're just street parking in New York City. So I was like, I can't, we just got the CRV for the kid and stuff. So I'm like, I'm not going to have two cars right now, but like it's, trust me, it's going to happen.
What color are you thinking?
Again, that like midnight blue.
Blue. Yeah. I love BMW blue
like
colors.
Black. Yeah. I wouldn't go with the light blue. BMW does blue the best.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And Porsche and Range Rover do green the best.
I do love those a 911 greens. In green.
Oh, I love that.
But I do like the green of that era is amazing too. I can't remember what it's called. The darker kind of hunter green.
Range Rover has that now on their sports. God, it's good looking.
Green
man.
Cars, I think just like, look great. It doesn't, there's not a green that looks bad in my opinion.
Dude, that GT3 touring spec, that's like that green with like the brown seats. That's like.
Are you talking about 911s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's one like of the best.
The non-wing one.
That
to me is like possibly, again, being low key because I'm not going to be on the track with this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's more low key. You don't need that giant spoiler. Just something about that build. I love it.
That is, that's why I like the ST a lot. Or is it SC or ST? The like 911.
This is the new one?
Yeah.
This is the new one that they just like.
It's pretty new. It's like a couple years old. Yeah. Alex, do you know what I'm talking about? I want to say ST.
There's so many variants.
I know.
That I'm like embarrassed to be like, they're like the ST7, you don't know them. Like I just did, what's it called? Smoking Tire yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And their Patreon guys, they will, they're watching it live, I guess. So they'll have, or I don't know if they know in advance that I'm coming on, but they'll write these questions. And a lot of these car guy questions, you could really tell, it feels like a job interview. You know what I mean? They're like, the one guy wrote, he goes, you know, we tracked the car and the car broke and it was stuck on fourth gear. And yet we all got 2 to 3 second better lap times stuck only in fourth for the whole lap. What do you think about? It was like this.
What do you think about that? What kind of question is that?
But a lot of these questions were like, they almost want to see. It's like, I want you to show the work. You know what I mean? I want you to talk and prove that you're a car guy. Essentially, it's so autistic. It gets autistic.
I know. And it is, there's like this weird kind of like smirky energy where they're like,
yeah, you could tell the guy like typed that answer, and cracked his knuckles and stepped back from the keyboard like answer that.
I'm in front of a computer right now and I can figure out anything I need to, but like you tell me what you think.
And I'm like, your car was stuck in fourth gear, you got a better lap time? How the hell does that happen?
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, third gear, okay, maybe.
That happened to Ayrton Senna.
But yeah, and
but other like, than that,
loafers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's
dude, that shit is exhausting.
I know, man. I know. It's like the only reason I got into engineering besides my mom, like I wanted to invent a car when I was a kid.
Oh, that's a good.
So that's when I got, so when I was a kid, I was like, I loved cars and they're like, you have to do engineering. So I was like, I'll engineer a car. You know what I mean? And like, that's pretty much the road I went down. I went into engineering. I realized, okay, it's not the thing for me, blah, blah, blah. Loved cars my whole life. Started, you know, got into comedy. COVID happened. And then I couldn't get stage time. So I started making content online.
Oh, that's cool.
throwing shit against the wall for years. I'm building a following. I'm talking about my immigrant upbringing. I'm talking about, you know, corporate life. This stuff is hitting. This stuff is hitting. Finally, I start talking about cars and it starts to really hit because, you know, my love for cars is coming through.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know, branded car guy comedian. Like the internet decides what you are, kind of. Sure. So suddenly I come to LA, Donut Media hits me up to come do the thing, and I can come on the Smoking Tire and stuff like that. And people are like, there's a little bit of an energy of like, you get embraced by a lot of the people you meet in real life, but the internet's like, oh, is he a car guy? You know what I mean? Let's ask these questions, A, B, and C. You're like, hey, I love cars. I can answer all these things, but it's also like, I don't know the 0 to 60. I used to be able to tell you like phone numbers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, what's your friend Michael's number? You know his number because there's no cell phones. So be like, what is the 2003 M5 do 0 to 60? You're like 4.9. You know what I mean? Like, I used to know all that stuff, but yeah, now it's like a quick Google. So I don't need to know it like that.
Right? I think that is something I'm scared about, because if you can just Google stuff, and especially like ChatGPT now, you can just ask a detailed question and it'll give you, you know, sometimes bullshit answers, but mostly good information.
But with great confidence though.
Yeah. Oh, it'll tell you like it's your pal too. Yeah. Like, talk to me like you're my friend too. But it's pushing stuff out of your brain too, I feel like, or just like your brain is telling itself it doesn't need to remember this because all this information is a finger click away, you know? So you don't.
But I'm fine with that. For 0 to 60 times, yeah, I'm fine with that. I have limited bandwidth. You know, yeah, what I mean? I don't need to know what the TVR 12 speed, all these weird cars that I followed as a, yeah, kid.
Oh, you know,
what
don't I mean? Know that's a
the
Sabera?
Ford GT90. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like all these things that are like the Salina 7 or all the. I don't need to know the 0 to 60. We can Google, yeah, that, right? Like, we can just relax for a second, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's just.
It doesn't need to be like surface level information, like. It's fine if that's something that you kind of remember from a while ago, but like the way that people test you on that, dude, is so obnoxious.
I feel like I'm in like some weird job interview stuff with a lot of these times, yeah, you know? There, one guy asked, he goes, how do you feel about people doing ADAS pre-tuning for something? I'm like, what the f*** did you just say? He's like, oh, ADAS is the thing that like does all the lane departure and stuff, yeah, like that. I'm like, I didn't even know. Like, I know what those are. I didn't know that's the acronym, that umbrella. Like,
yeah,
guys, like relax for a second. You know,
do you feel like that's kind of a challenge now in your career, straddling those two industries, being like a car guy and a comic, and finding, you know, wanting to give people the time when you see them in person or online or whatever, but also kind of disregarding these like people that are trying to catch you on the back foot?
Yeah, a little bit. Honestly, I'm shooting from the hip. I don't know. There's no playbook.
Yeah.
I'm in some weird uncharted territory. And I'm grateful because the car community has embraced me so much. So I'm just like, I want to continue championing all the people that like are like they f- with me and they, yeah, you know, have followed me and like my stuff and like are communicating with me and they're like getting cars and DMing me like a freaking new Range Rover or the build or they lost their 10 mil wrench or whatever, yeah, it is. You know what I mean? I like all that stuff, but it's like I'm a stand-up comedian that happens to love cars. So I'm in this space where it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm just going into being like, I'm like a car media rep. I'm like, whoa, what even happened anymore? Like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I don't feel like I don't know what's happening, to be honest.
Yeah. Like you feel like you have to have a take on everything.
Yes. And I don't have a take on everything.
Yeah.
I don't. You may have asked me a question that I just learned about what you just said immediately.
I think it's fine to not have a take on ADAS or the brand new Hyundai Ioniq 9 or whatever. Like it doesn't matter anymore.
I know.
And
it's funny because you said I just got an opportunity to lead VIP tours at the New York Auto Show. So the New York Auto Show.
That's cool.
Shout out to Scotty at A Girl's Guide to Cars. She's a fan of my social media, connected me to all these OEMs. So finally I got press cars. I used to just tour and just rent cars off Turo and just, yeah, rent cars. Maybe I'll screw around, do a review with a car. I'll do a joke with a car, whatever. She's like, you shouldn't be paying for these cars. And she like connected me. So now I get all the media cars.
Oh, that's awesome.
So shout out to her. She's amazing. And she just connected with the New York Auto Show to be like, hey, let's get some influencers to lead some VIP tours.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I live in New York. So I'm like, something to do during the day. Why not? I'm down for that. One 2 hour VIP tour a day. And then there, when you're actually in front of people, I realized I didn't even need to, like, I'm not like Googling stuff that much.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, this is gonna be more of a vibe thing. I'm not gonna come in and be like, this is the L4 platform that, like, you know what I mean? This is not gonna be a pure numeric thing. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be like, oh, this is the car that I wanted when I was a kid. This is the Navigator, which is, you know, going off the same platform as the Expedition, but look at, let's go inside. Like, this is what you want. I'd be like, this is what you wanna hit the club with. You know what I mean? Like, it's more like vibes and stuff. And that's what people wanted, you know?
Well, yeah, it's funny.
People aren't there being like, you know, how many sample pieces did they do in their validation process? Like, it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you get online.
Oh, for sure.
So online, you're like, you're a relaxed guy, you know? But in real life, these are not the questions. Real life, people want to be around the cars, get in.
Yeah.
And what do you know about? I actually don't know him, but hey, the Ford rep is right there. Let's grab him and see if he knows that answer. It's not about you knowing everything.
It's such a dichotomy because online, people are trolling you. In person, everyone's upbringing and need to kind of be polite overtakes any sort of like want to troll.
Anyway, yeah, 100%. When you're in front of somebody, we default to human decency for the most part, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
I miss that. I miss, you know, being online as my job, I miss this kind of stuff. You know, interfacing with real people and doing live events and stuff. I wish we did more live events because people show up and they're like really nice and they're really stoked to be there. And you don't get any of this like, yeah, well, what's the displacement on that engine?
I know, dude. I know. Oh my God. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on this. The freaking nerds, you know, not even the nerds, but just like the incel car, incel vibe.
Yeah.
You're like, geez, guy, like get on Hinge, man. Relax.
Like actual trolls that are like asking you questions so you can cross the bridge.
Yeah. One guy asked me a specific gear ratio question.
Oh,
he wanted me to say numbers about what I, third versus second. I'm like, yo.
Was this on the smoking tire?
No, this was not on the smoking tire. This was like in real life at some point where it's like, I'm like, yo, pause, stop. What are we doing? You know, like if I can't answer your gear ratio question, what are you going to go back to your crew? Be like, he's not even a car guy, bro.
Bro, he's,
bro, he doesn't even, he thought it was a 4 or 5. Like, yo, it's weird. Yo, it gets weird. Let's just say that, you know.
Yeah.
Are you a New Yorker?
No, I'm from Milwaukee.
Wisconsin. Milwaukee.
I love that moment in the spring where everyone's like, hell yeah. That first day where everyone gets out of their house and they're wearing shorts and stuff.
Yeah, you guys don't have that out here. You're a little divorced from reality out here. Huh?
No. And when it rains, which is like 2 times a year, everyone's just in their house. No one leaves. People still drive like idiots and there's a ton of crashes
because they don't know how to. Every tire is bald out here and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and
but I will say this, these roads, the only salt out here is in Mexican cuisine. You know what I mean? Like that's I love these old cars that have beautiful bodies, man.
Oh yeah.
No rust.
That is
no rust.
Something I like I'm immune to now. Like I don't even clock how many cars there are still from like the 70s.
It's like a early 70s Camry or something and it's like looks great.
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell? Being a Canadian, that's the stuff that really shocks me.
Yeah. Growing up in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Same thing. Same exact thing. We have crazy like winters.
10-year-old cars that are full of rust. And you're like, what? Like,
bro, that's Ram normal. 1500s, the whole wheel well is like, they got to put that overlay thing they all put on the outside well.
Mm-hmm.
The
spray liner.
Because it starts to eat that. Yeah.
And then there's just like, you don't trust any used car because it's full of Bondo.
Oh, bro. I sold a F-150 that I had to plastic, black plastic. I had to, man. Maybe
sometimes you got to sell what you gotta
do.
Hey,
listen. It ran great, okay? Yeah. It had a little body rust, but it ran great. What do you want?
I'm not going to lie and say I haven't sold a couple cars where I immediately blocked the number of the person that I sold it to.
I'm not saying that. What a piece of shit. You're like, damn, bro. That immediately blocked the number?
I mean.
What are you selling? So you're selling like, we're talking like AC line is cut, brake line
is
cut.
No, it was.
You're like, this is a lawsuit.
Safe, but like All right, I will tell because it's.
But you, dude, as long as you sold them as is, did you sell them as is?
As is, I was like very upfront about everything, and I sold them for like $1,000.
Oh, okay, so we're talking about like junkers like that are still run.
Yeah.
So like, okay, that's fine.
But I was also taken advantage of. I'll talk about one car in particular.
This is getting dark. Huh?
It's past the statute of limitations.
Yeah. Okay. Damn.
But it was a '99 Accord. The one that looked like a kind of baby NSX with a...
Oh, yeah. Boxy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that era. And it was black. It looked perfect.
Yeah. High school, my buddy going to get pizza at lunch, 99 Accord.
Yeah. I bought it from my coworker. So I was like, oh, this is legit. You know, come to find out, I drove it for a couple months maybe. For some reason, I didn't register it. I was just like dumb and young.
I was just white.
Yeah.
That's just like the way. I didn't even register it. I'm like, what could happen?
Just wait, because I got pulled over after 3 months.
Yeah.
The cop walked up with his hand on his gun. And I was like, what's going on? I'm like, I was a chef at the time. Yeah. So I was like, sweaty.
So you're white in whites.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. He walks up with his gun and his, you know, finger on his gun. Kind of like standoffish. And I'm like, what's going on? This dude's, I'll be as blatant as possible. You know, I got my hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
He asked if it was my car. And I was like, oh, that's a weird thing to ask. Mm. And then it comes out that like, it's got a stolen license plate.
Of course.
And he gave me a warning and let me go.
Dude.
With a stolen license plate, unregistered car.
Hey, white privilege people, you're first.
You're the one saying
you
it.
You heard it here first.
It was very much that, though. It felt like I was like...
No family in the car.
No family.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he asked if God I was drunk you. And didn't breathalyze
You're like,
me.
A little bit. He's like, get out of here, like, buddy.
It's kind of... I had a shift drink, you know? Like, you get a shift drink at the end of...
Dude, that's incredible. So, it had the license plate. You saw, well, you bought it with a license plate already on it. And you kept driving it with that license plate.
I just...
How does it work out here?
I was like... 21 had just moved out here. I didn't know.
You didn't even know what the thing was.
Yeah, it was because I didn't have a car in Wisconsin. Yeah. So this was the first car that I bought.
Got it. Okay.
And
just ignorance.
Yeah, super ignorant. And just like, I'm going to let it ride until I get in trouble kind of thing. Like just ignorance is bliss. And then like it also, I was like, I'm going to get everything figured out. I'm going to register it. But then, oh man, this is going to... All the car guys in the comments are going to be like, this idiot. It only had like 3 of 4 motor mounts.
Okay.
So when I would rev it, the engine would go, dur, dur. Yeah, oh no, it had 2 engine mounts, like kitty corner. So it was actually like doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And probably like moments away from just like divorcing itself from the transmission.
From the frame?
Yeah. So needless to say, like I didn't have that car for very long.
Yeah.
I let the guy know everything that was wrong with it, that it had a stolen license plate. He still bought it for $1,000.
And you deleted the number immediately.
Well, he called me about an hour later and was very angry. And I was like, dude, I let you know everything. Yeah. It was one of those things where we like did a bill of sale on like a post-it note.
Yeah.
It's and I was like, yeah.
At least he did that though.
But I was like, man, this was $1,000. You knew what you're getting into. Like, where else can you buy a car for $1,000? Like you could... For a couple $100, probably register it and get it going again.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah. But anyways, that's my car story. This is not about me.
Hey, listen, just be thankful that you got the melanin on point, all right? Because that, you might still be locked away, dude. That's stolen car, drinking.
Yeah.
Unregistered. Hey, get
I was not
here.
Drunk. I will go on record. It was
get
one beer.
Get out of here, buddy. Welcome to Los Angeles, kid.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
That's my car story. But let's go back to Beamers, because I also am a huge Beamer head.
Someone has a beautiful E36. Where I live in Astoria, Queens, it's like BMW headquarters.
Oh,
every
nice.
Tune house is there. And everyone's ripping up and down my street because they tune them right. There's a couple of places just right around me that tune cars. And so they're always constantly ripping on my street because they're like just seeing what the mod did.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
That's really fun
so
to
it's,
be around.
So it's a lot. The guy that owns one of them has a such a clean E36. Beautiful spoiler, red. It's like dead stock. It's perfect. It's beautiful. You just, every time you see it, you're like, man, it's so small. Like G80s come near it. Like, and you're like, bro, every car is so much bigger now.
I know,
like, you see an old M5 versus the newest M5. It's like double the size.
Dude, like a Z4 nowadays.
The Z's stayed, they're still small compared to everything else. They used to be tiny, like Miata tiny,
right?
It
looks bulky though. Like the way that the new BMW styling with, like, you know, everyone.
But it's the SUVs that get the real buck. The Z4 is still kind of like, I mean, Z is what we say in Canada.
I was going to say, I think you Americanized when you said all the way to 12th grade. Don't you guys say grade 12?
We do say, but if I say 12th grade, Canada knows it, America knows it.
Yeah.
But if I say I did grade 1 to grade 12 like that, now we got to talk about it. Oh, say can. Can you say can? And we do the, then we do the whole thing. First, I say first grade to 12th grade, everyone knows it, right?
Yeah.
But we do say grade 12.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I'll just,
the other thing that I grew up pretty close to Canada. So yeah. I know
you Winnipeg, near Winnipeg.
Ontario's right above us, but like, yeah. I've never been to Canada still, even though we were four hours away, which I love Canadians. A lot of our audience is Canadian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out.
And you know, so many American cars are made in Ontario, right across
Absolutely.
The border.
Absolutely. Windsor. RAV4. Your RAV4 is probably made in Woodstock.
I think that was made in, I want to say, Texas or
It was made in Woodstock.
Woodstock. Really?
I don't know. we got a plant out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of Chevy operations. All of the Challengers were made in Brampton.
Yeah.
Ford, Oakville plant is Ford's second most efficient plant. My buddy works in there. They're putting the F-250 volume in there because they can't keep up with heavy truck volume. So that's like the spillover volume because they were doing the Lightning there and they stopped. They had a lot of EV stuff that they just cut.
Yeah,
because they're going to focus on these, like, the range extender versions and get the dev going. But in the meantime, they're going to do their surplus F-250, F-350 production out of there. That big Oakville plant. Huge out there. A lot of car stuff happening.
You guys get a couple cars that US doesn't, right?
Well, we're about to get 49,000 BYDs.
BYD. I wanted to talk about this because, like,
China coming in.
Yeah, eventually, like, the US is probably going to adopt BYDs as well,
bro,
or, you know, Chinese EVs.
They're
very afraid, and I'm sure there's gonna be so much lobbying against it.
Of course, the way I look at it is the North American EV market is like 1950s NBA.
Yeah.
And Chinese EVs are black guys. You know what I mean? Their development is so out of pace.
Yeah,
they have just adopted EV way before the side of the world. Mm-hmm. And they do like my buddy has a startup for, they take forklifts that operate off propane and retrofit giant lithium ion batteries in
there.
And it's like better in every way.
Yeah.
And they do with other, like, so he's like a battery expert, but he's like, yeah, the chemistries they do over there, they develop them and they validate them to a great working point. They do everything so fast and it's all vertically integrated. They make the bot. Like 90% of a lot of these BYDs, I think possibly even more, it's all sourced like in-house. They make all of the components.
Well, BYD's massive company. And also government.
It's a giant, of course. I mean, it's China, right?
Yeah.
It's half Chinese owned, government owned. But, like, you know, if you work with automotive suppliers, if you work with the OEM, the assembly plant has 1,000 suppliers shipping to it, you know, at least a couple hundred suppliers. Each of those suppliers has a couple hundred suppliers. The supply chain is a giant tree, right? So if you could just freaking consolidate that to just like being one owner, it's just the expedition of that is just insane. So you can't compete with that.
We have an automotive history podcast as well, Past Gas.
Yeah.
And right now we're doing the history of like the golden era of JDM.
Okay.
And it's kind of the same thing that's happening in the 70s where like we were caught off guard because we were making engines as big as possible.
Correct.
Whereas Japan was like making super efficient four cylinders. And that's why they were able to swoop in when they did. I feel like it's the same kind of
Civic.
Thing with
the Civic is what shifted the whole
Civic.
Tone.
Yeah, the CVCC engine, which didn't need a catalytic converter.
Everyone was saying like the new EPA was like, it's impossible. No one can meet these things. And Japan was like, try that.
We
and
did
it. It just took over at that point.
Yeah, it was just right place, right time. And I feel like that's kind of what can happen when the government backs all the research into this kind of stuff. And they're leagues ahead of us because of it. Whereas we're trying to just slow down progress because we have such a vested interest in oil.
Yes.
And, you know, not to say that like China doesn't have its own problems, but like we're actively getting in our own way about it.
Yeah. It's like at least the Ford CEO acknowledges.
Yeah. How Jim
great,
Farley.
Yeah. He acknowledges how great these Chinese produced cars are, the EV produced.
Yeah.
And their capabilities versus the, at least it's not like a la la la, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least they're, you know, the top guys are beginning to be like, okay, like, you
I
know.
I feel like that's mostly
on the government front. Yeah,
it.
The government front is like, la la la, you know what I mean?
It's like trying to hide behind the curtain.
So I don't know what they do. Even at 100% tariff, like that BYD Seagull, you know about that? That's like the really entry level model.
What it's are the specs like on the BYD Seagull?
This guy doesn't know anything. Spell Seagull. What? It's like it looks like a little Honda Fit.
Yeah,
and it's like $8,000.
Oh shit!
Correct. Yes.
So and even if you doubled that,
$16,000.
That's still cheaper than any base level car. Like
so,
up
even 100% tariff doesn't stop. So the only thing I could think of is requiring BYD to assemble. In American,
that seems to be the theme.
That's the only way that, like, you got to employ my here, essentially. It's the only way.
I mean, that takes years.
It does. I think they make 70% of the world's EVs, China.
Yeah.
You go to Africa, fully there. Brazil, fully. South America, fully there.
Yeah.
They're going to go first year, 49,000 are allowed to go in, and they're just going to undercut and just outperform probably a lot.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, so in demand, and everyone's going to be like, increase your, you know, allotment, and then it just begins.
Yeah. You mentioned
it's EVs. Survival of the fittest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be like, they're the other guy, so it's survival of the fittest in all things. You want an open market as much as possible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, AI is going to disrupt jobs and stuff in America way more than BYD
for
production.
Sure. And right? People want to sing the praises of an open market until it's their market that's threatened.
Yes.
Then they want to, like, you know,
like,
tear down.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
well,
then,
what about
and regulate.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like that's the only kind of thing that's going to push our car makers to get to that level and to make good cars, because we're force-fed just kind of the worst cars.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough transition period. They're going to have to come in sooner or later, because it's just going to not even make sense at some point. When you travel outside of America and you go all over the world, there's these cars that are just not in America that are like kind of better. They're more affordable. They charge immediately.
The range is way better.
And I'm not even the EV guy. I'm just talking, this is just factually being objective. EV is going to win. It's obviously going to win. You know what I mean? It just is, dude. Like, the first time you drive an EV car, you're like, if they get this charging down to 2 or 3 minutes and the range is 1,000 miles, gas is, it's over. You know what I mean? It's over, right?
Yeah.
And I love tactile. That's why do people listen to vinyl over an MP3? It's that, like, scratchy, that alive feeling. And the reason I like gas is the engine is more akin to the human body than the EV drivetrain.
You get
the engine is like
feedback.
The actual gasoline engine is like a heart.
Yeah.
It's so the way we've evolved combustion is really is like the human body. It's very close to nature.
And it's getting really efficient now, but it's still got a ceiling.
Yes, absolutely. It has a ceiling.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the supercar people like the Koenigseggs and all these guys will take it. They'll keep pushing it. Like, look what we can do out of gas.
But they're also adding hybrid.
Everyone's adding hybrid. But it's like, it's so much simpler to make these. Their margins are better.
Yeah.
Once the battery tech gets to a point where we can't be like, I just don't want to, like, the charge time, I don't want to wait. Us car guys will be, I don't know who the first person is going to be that develops something that makes the EV experience more akin to the raw classic internal combustion experience. A lot of people have tried the Ioniq 5N. They tried to give you sound profiles. Ooh, car or electric. Ka, 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 ka. The internet's like, bullshit, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do people want? You know what I mean? What's going to be the thing that helps bridge that?
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Whoever figures that out is going to like
a rumble. We need some sort of tactile feedback. That's the problem with EV.
That's what Dodge did. Dodge did with that the EV Charger.
Yeah.
And it their Fratzonic exhaust, which is just a speaker run through a muffler. It's just garbage.
No, that solution is bad.
Yeah.
But someone is going to do something. Someone's going to do something. And another problem I personally have with EVs is they're too quiet, man. Now being there's so many here in LA. Yeah. Where I just walked to the gas station to grab something, and this Tesla came up on me so fast. I didn't have headphones on.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was right there so fast.
Damn.
That I'm like, man, this car is like 1,000 pounds heavier than an Accord too. Yeah. So it's like, that's, we need like a, some society's all going to have to integrate where if you have headphones, they all integrate through like a node network with all electric cars. Yeah. Will be like rah, 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 to tell you that an electric car is near you. Mm-hmm. Something is going to have to, because they're all so quiet and so fast and so heavy.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, when Cybertrucks first came out and they're just barreling around LA and they're just going, you know, like that's a 9,000 pound vehicle going 60 miles per hour on a street in, you know, like a second
it gets exactly, up to whatever. Exactly.
And I'm just waiting for it to chop someone in half.
Dude.
It's shaped like
so
a knife.
So heavy. So heavy. That's, I mean, why do motorcyclists go like, ah, why do they rev so loud? They're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
You know, and some guys are just pure assholes. They're taking it to the next.
There's a lot of
freaking
assholes.
But when someone's just going, yay, yay, and they're on the highway near you, they're just, that is for you to know they're next to you.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of how that came to be. But it's like, they got to figure out this audio thing and the driving aspect of it. I don't like the Tesla's auto regen thing.
It's
I know Porsche doesn't have that. I haven't driven a Taycan yet, but I know they don't. They let you coast.
Well, when we got one, I think this was like 4 years ago now. James said that it was the best car he's ever driven.
Dude, first of all, the Taycan is the sexiest EV on the road.
It's
the
really design,
the styling of that car. It's so sexy.
It's great.
The wagon version of it is the and I love the RS6. But pure styling wise, the wagon Taycan is the nicest wagon on the market.
Now that you're a dad, are you looking at more wagons?
I've always loved wagons. Even before I was a dad, I had my freaking, I was like a VW Golf guy.
Oh,
I had many Golfs, 6-speed diesels that we got them like deleted. So, you know, you get rid of a bunch of stuff, modify. kill the world pretty much for small gains. But dude, it was so fun. It's a sleeper.
I will say.
So fun.
To put all emissions on our backs, you know, like the drivers, I think is bullshit. I understand we should be striving to be cleaner, and breathing clean air is great. I think that's something we should all strive for.
I love cleaner.
But to put it, you know, like...
We sound like politicians. I love cleaner.
I love cleaner. Cleaner is great. Yeah. They say it's great.
Yeah.
But I think we need to address the issues, which are like shipping. Shipping accounts for so much emissions. And
the manufacturing process.
Yeah. So there's
battery
other
production, et cetera, et cetera.
Huge fish to fry before we start getting into like how much my A3, how much exhaust it makes, you know?
Do you have like a stage one tune on yours? Or what?
No, I actually, that was a bad example because it's my cleanest vehicle. It gets like 43 miles to the gallon with the e-tron.
It's right outside.
Yeah. Do you see it parked on the sidewalk?
So it's electric.
It's hybrid.
I thought e-tron was electric.
The e-tron GT is fully electric. That's their like.
That's a badass car.
It's a badass car.
That's another sexy car.
Dude. We did a video a while ago on like hypercars that have
is it a hypercar?
I would call
it a hypercar.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah, but it's like I think it's like
it's their flagship EV sports car. So I don't know what
you
call
it. Yeah, it's like R8 specs in a sedan looking EV.
Would you call an R8?
But hypercar is like those 1,000 plus like ZR1X.
That's true.
Corvette and
the Batista. Kona.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Supercar, I'll call it.
Still,
but you, so like new those went for like $160,000 to $200,000. You can find them for like $50,000 now with like no miles.
You can get Taycans for like $35,000-$40,000 in some places.
Yeah.
The depreciation is the one thing that they got to figure out. And I think it'll get better.
Yeah.
I think it'll get better once we understand fully what the lifespan is of these EVs and batteries. Because right now there's so much unknown that they're like, oh, fuck that. I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
I don't want, I'm not touching that out of warranty.
Because you get like a, you know, say Lexus gas car from 2012 and the tech is horrible.
Yeah.
So like imagine that whole tech running your car.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what scares people.
Exactly, exactly. You're like this, but half these things don't work. The whole drivetrain is like zeros and ones. Like it's all binary.
The navigation looks like it's from 2001.
Dude, Subaru's brand new stuff still has that vibe.
Don't get me started on Subaru. Man, the infotainment system was like the bane of my existence when I got Impreza in 2018.
Dude, the Impreza, 2018 center console on an Impreza is like it's like a 2009 Kia.
Yes.
Or Hyundai. Like Korea is like 10 years ahead.
Yeah.
Of not just Japanese, but Subaru specific. I don't know what's happening at Subaru, but their approach to like Seneca, all that, they just are a little out of touch. They're focusing too much on symmetrical all-wheel drive. I don't know what it is. Because Lexus does it nice. Honda does it nice. Mazda does it real sleek.
Yes.
But I like don't Mazda's. Know. They're like the Japanese Audi kind of, right? As far as their styling, interior and stuff.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
But like Subaru's always been, they're better now. I was at the auto show this year looking inside a lot. Their EVs are purely, they've caught up. They all just one big screen, not many buttons.
Outback or anything.
But even the Outback are like, they got like Volvo interiors now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got like Volvo. It's better than what it was.
They're going really leaning into like the outdoorsy, like.
Oh yeah, all of them roof racks. And
the fabric that you can like wash off.
And yeah.
The stitching.
It's like a high pressure hose. Yeah. You're like, relax, guys.
Gold stitching.
No one is taking these off road. No. Have you seen a Forester with dirt on it in the last 6 years? I haven't.
They're really leaning into that like Jeep lifestyle.
Everybody is. Everybody is, dude.
Honda too.
All Honda's of them. Forerunner, like, big guy. Yeah. Passport, big there. You know what I mean? The Bronco RTR.
Yeah.
The Wrangler this. They've got the new one, the Recon, which is their EV. It's like a lot of people are doing the off-road, the Land Cruiser's back. Everyone's waiting for the Scout, right?
Yeah. That's been delayed again.
Which has been delayed, but that's another like cool.
Which is supposed to, I mean, it's owned by Volkswagen.
Yeah. Which one was owned by Amazon?
Slate. Yeah.
Yeah. Slate is like the cheap $20,000, $18,000.
Well, now it's going up.
Of course, it's still 30 because the EV credit's gone.
Yeah. They advertised initially, their selling point was like under 20,000, but then.
They're like under 40,000.
Yeah. Basically.
I swear under 40.
I think they're advertising like 28 for base now.
It's just, it all converges to the same pricing. You know what I mean?
All right. So going back a little bit, you had mentioned very briefly that like Chinese EVs have made their way to Africa. Being from Sudan, I know that you moved pretty early on in your life.
But
what can you talk about as far as like car culture in Sudan?
I don't know about the culture. I just know what I saw when I was there. Yeah. A lot of Korean cars.
Okay.
A lot
have you visited recently?
No, Sudan, there's a war. It's getting much better right now.
I was gonna say,
it's doing much better right now. And international flights are actually coming in.
Okay.
So the international flight activity was totally blocked for like a couple of years. And it was just kind of like domestic slowly started. But now people are actually flying there. So things are a lot more relaxed. Equilibrium is coming back. But growing up and going back every like 5 years for the summers, a lot of Korean cars there.
Yeah.
So a lot of the public transportation is like old Daewoos and a lot of these like Korean brands that I'm not even like so, you know, familiar with.
Yeah.
You see a lot of like, they had like these small, like smart car size. They have a lot of those small, like smart car.
Like micro cars.
Micro cars. Micro, like Korean and Japanese. It's mostly Korean because they actually, they penetrate Africa more. Because I think that they're much more affordable. Japan is like bougie when it comes to worldwide pricing. Because they know like Japanese cars, Japanese and German, where the cars, right?
Well, the yen level is probably higher than a lot of.
But even just for like making it for those markets, I think the Koreans went in a lot more. Koreans, just generally speaking, they've been much more aggressive with their pricing for market share purposes. I mean, think half the cars on the road are Ken car, as they say, or a Kia, right? Have you seen that new logo?
No, Ken.
You seen the new Kia logo?
It's just like a.
It looks like it says Kin, K-I-N, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
That's why everyone calls them kin cars. They're like, it's not a Kia, it's a kin. You know? Like just trying to get rid of the old stigma they had about them. But they've been, their market share, they're freaking killing it.
Yeah.
The Koreans, they'll give you 9-year finance at 0%. You're like $18 every 2 weeks.
That was what everyone helped them kind of overcome
The stigma.
Yeah.
For years, he was like, bro, don't get a Kia. Don't get a Kia.
Because no one else was doing more than 3-year warranties at that point.
Yeah. They're doing, I mean, Mitsubishi does a 10, but like, I don't know if that's recent.
But this is like the mid-2000s, I want to say, is when they started doing this 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
And it's the financing and leasing options that really get people into those cars. Mm-hmm. Especially like immigrants and lower-income households.
Yeah.
They'll freaking get you. Dude, they'll give you a 7-year lease or finance at 0% APR.
That's
just
crazy.
Acting as your interest-free bank.
Yeah.
It's like get free, in our cars. You know?
Free
get
financing.
In our cars. Yeah. So you see a lot of those cars.
Yeah.
And then you see, it's like, you see a lot of Chinese manufacturers out there, probably way more now since I've gone. Last time I went was 2010. So it's 16 years.
Yeah.
So it's, dude, I probably can't even speak to what is happening right now in this moment. I bet you there's Chinese EVs all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you though, the legendary car out there, the Land Cruiser.
I was going to say
the Toyota Land Cruiser and the Prado.
Everywhere. Yeah.
The Prado, which is like their more bougie, I guess, variant of the Land Cruiser.
The Prado is like the smaller, less capable Land Cruiser, but still very
capable. Actually not the bougie one, huh? It's less capable.
It's so...
So it's more like their TJ.
What's TJ?
You know, like the Jeep TJ?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's a small...
So you have like the Land Cruiser proper.
Proper.
That is like probably the most capable platform. But in Japan, they were offering a smaller, less capable one. Called the Prado, which was aimed more towards like
more accessible
mall Jeep people.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And I think they marketed towards women who didn't go off-road as much, but that is what became the new Land Cruiser here. It's actually a Prado over in Japan.
Got it.
So what we have here, the new brand new Land Cruiser and the Lexus GX 550.
Yeah.
Is actually the Prado in Japan.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. When I was there, people just kept saying Prado as in like it was the... I was so young too.
Yeah.
They're like Prado. Like it was the bougie one. Like it sounded like Prada, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was actually the less capable one. But people... the Land Cruiser there is like the car to have.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, see, you see G-Wagons, you see S-Classes and stuff like that. But it's like the like Land Cruiser. It's just...
Are the roads there?
A lot of gravel. Not gravel. A lot of like dusty dirt roads. And the main cities have like a good amount of artery paved roads. But it's like you're not really like doing like ga 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 ga. But it's like either dirt or asphalt.
Okay.
Yeah. But you need something that can.
You didn't see a lot of like car culture, like, you know, car meets or.
No, I personally didn't. But man, the way I was going over there, I was with my family and I was very sheltered.
You're not really like
seeking. No, not at all. I'm not like with other young people that are like, it's not. It's like, we're going to meet them over there and have go to a fish restaurant over here. It's like, you know, it's like I'm not seeing anything. So I really, I can't even speak to it, unfortunately, you know.
Did your family try to shield you from car culture in general? Or did it come off as like kind of a dangerous thing?
No, that was not anything. That was not on the radar for them on any level.
Yeah.
We got bigger problems. Like, they're like, stay away from those dumped Civics.
Yeah.
They're slammed and the camber is too much. You know what I mean? Like it was, they had bigger fish to fry. Like no one was like, stay away from.
Yeah.
Car stuff was like, it's innocuous. It's that's out on there. Stay away from drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and become pretty much it wasn't even stay away from this. It was just become an engineer and shut the hell up. Don't you know? That's pretty much it.
Okay, so when you moved to Canada,
yes, sir.
You started paying attention to BMWs, and then your first lease was this 4 Series.
Yes, sir.
How long did that last?
3 years.
And so after that, you're like, I'm not buying this.
No, I made I couldn't afford the lease. Is really what it was. It was a great lesson early on in my life. That's why I'm not such in a rush to get this or that.
Sure.
Because that really burned me out for 3 years.
Yeah.
So pretty much I was living for this car. Like all the payments, I was a third of what I made a month after tax went to this car.
Oh my God.
Like I had my own apartment. Like the car was like when I first moved out there, the car was like $1,000 a month, right? And I had my own place and I had to leave my place and I had to go rent a bedroom with roommates, a $300 a month room to afford this $1,000 a month lease. I swear to God.
That's no way
like
to
just
live.
Just dumb as hell. Just like a dumbass. And not only that, but way over on my miles, my 15,000 a year allotment, I'm in year at month nine, I'm at 17,000.
No.
So I'm like, I can't. So I'm like, okay. So then like I started to like sequester myself.
No.
Like I can't go anywhere this weekend. I got to start catching up. I have no money to spend. Cause so I just was like, am I fucking stupid? Like I can't go nowhere. I have no money. Like this was the dumbest decision.
You can't even drive the car.
I can't really drive it because I can just do local errands. No highway. I can't go visit. I can't go to London. I was
can't
in Detroit.
Have fun with it.
It's 2 hours away. I kept going to London for the first 7 months. And yeah. Like, I'm like, I can't do that for a couple months. Like I got to like sit here and bank miles and get back on course. Like it was just, it was, I just found myself in such a dumb predicament that I was like, I'm never going to do this again. And I'm going to make sure that if I ever get a car, it's maximum 10% of like my months, my nut, you know what I mean? Maximum.
Well, it's just a lesson you learn the hard way.
Exactly. Someone would have told you that and advised you and you're not going to learn it from advice. You know, you have to experience it.
Hey, I bought a stolen car.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So now, you got to register them.
Yeah.
Right? And you just take your family with you all the time in the car, right? Be
or
ready.
At least rent a kid.
At least. But when I got out of that lease is exactly when I went to the Bay Area and I got that job and they pretty much tried to hire me.
Yeah.
And I said no. When I finished that, my term with them, my parent company, Riverwoods, immediately fired me because had no company to offset my, my salary.
Yeah.
So they fucking immediately let me go. Immediately. So then I was like, okay. So I had to go back to America, right? Or Canada. And my buddy was like, you're the only guy that I know that was deported to Canada. And I had to go back. And then when I went back in like 2017, I was like, I'm not even going to do engineering. Like I worked at my one buddy's job real quick to get enough hours to qualify for employment insurance. Uh-huh. But I was like, it's only comedy from now on. So I just kept my head down and was like, that's really in 2017 when I got my Jetta. That is when I began to actually work on cars. Was actually the best thing that ever happened because I used to just be like pure cars and numbers and theory and never seat time. Like the only thing I ever did was my Nissan Sentra in college. I remember the if you went on the blower, only 1 and 4 worked. 2 and 3 didn't work because the little resistor thing under the glove box went.
Oh,
right. The blower resistor for the fan.
Oh, okay.
For the climate control. So I remember I just freaking Googled it and I went and I ordered like 30 piece off Rock Auto. And it's like you just drop your glove box and it's right there and you just switch it in and it worked. And I just remember that feeling. It was so good. And I was like, yo, sick. But then I got the 435 and it's all warranty. It's brand new. Sure.
Then, it's got a shield that you don't even want to
You don't want to do. You don't want, people are like, are you going to tune it? I'm like, I know, man. It's unworthy. I'm afraid of all that. So then when I got the Jettas, I got a Jetta, then a Golf, then a diesel Golf.
Oh, cool.
And on those, it's like so many things went wrong. And it's like, okay, let me switch the glow pipe. Let me do spark plugs. Okay. Let me do tire rotation myself. Let me get a jack. Let me do a brake job. Let me do a freaking wheel bearing, right? Let me do a gear linkage change. Let me do the radiator. Like, and then slowly over the years, I started actually getting in there and it was like the best. And this was just like just a function of affordability. Sure. Like I couldn't afford to go.
Necessity.
Exactly. I bought the car for $3,000-$4,000. I'm going to fix it myself. So that was the best. That was a great period. And then I had this kid. So I got like a new CRV. So right now I'm like in this like limbo period where it's like, I'm powering up. I'm always going to have the CRV. So my wife, that's like don't think about it. Perfect, fine car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like hiding in plain sight type thing.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to get my BMW on the side, my old BMW.
Dude.
That's going to happen any day now.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm so happy for you.
I'm amped, brother.
And I'm happy for your success as a stand-up as well. Coming from the comedy world, that's...
When does this come out?
Next week.
Next week. Okay. Yeah.
You want to plug anything?
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm big in Canada, catch me in... I'm going to be in British Columbia. Victoria on April 30th, May 1st will be Surrey, BC, May 2nd, Vancouver, and then May 3rd, I'll be in Seattle, so come check me out there. Hell yeah. And then May 22nd, Boston, May 28th, Detroit.
Hell yeah. Catch. Where can people find you online?
Just abbaswahab.com, A-B-B-A-S-W-A-H-A-B. It's like ABBA, the band with an S at the end. ABBA, but plural. And then the same thing for Instagram and TikTok. And that's just like my, you know,
your Instagram
stupid
really
videos
funny.
And, you know, just dumb stuff. And,
Hell yeah. Well, Abbas, it was really great having you.
Great chatting with you, brother.
Yeah.
This has been awesome, man. It's been a pleasure to be in this place, man. You got to get me a hoodie, man.
I got to get you a hoodie.
I got to get something with
and then
that donut
next
logo
time
on
when
it.
You come back, we got to drive some cars.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll get that on video too.
Hell yeah. So thanks for listening or watching wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Follow me at Joe G. Weber and follow Donut Podcast on Instagram. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye. Cheers.